Can Center Historic District Commission to order. I don't know what time it is, but Maureen does.
It's 7:30.
Okay, and we have Marion Burbank, Kenneth Schwartz, Sue Lampros, and Jim McGinnis. We're missing Chris Benelli, could not be here tonight. All right, so I'm going to open the public hearing for file 2203, 254 Cherry Brook Road. Assessors map 19, parcel 150254. Request to place a sign for the antique business in the detached garage that's allowed by special permit, and it is presented by Thomas and Joanne Spirito as applicants and owners. As I was kind of saying a little bit ahead of time, I just received the original application in which the explanation of work is in June of 2021, our property was approved by the Canton Zoning Board to house an antique business in our detached garage. With that approval, we are permitted to place a sign that is 4x4. We're seeking permission from the Canton Historic District for this sign. And it is signed, the Spiritos have signed it. So, and also attached to the application is the Planning and Zoning Commission approval, the Certificate of Action, which was dated June 23rd, 2021.
I didn't get that.
Okay, that was also, you had to kind of dig a little bit.
It was in the package.
It was in the package. So I had one copy.
I didn't see it. I might have an extra.
Here, hold up.
You both have an extra?
Yeah.
Huh, I thought I clicked on all the various. Thank you. Because I printed everything again because I didn't know what was different.
Yeah.
No, I didn't get that. I don't know.
Well.
I thought I did too, yeah.
So. Well, maybe it wasn't in the first set.
No. I have page one of it, so hold on, an extra. So it, as I said, this was dated June 23rd, 2021, and
turned
it
down.
I swear I turned it down. I turned mine off, but it doesn't guarantee things. please be advised that at the regular meeting on Wednesday, June 16th, 2021, the Canton Planning and Zoning Commission voted on the above referenced item. This actually was someone else's application. Oh no, wait, Mr. Thies moved that the Canton Planning and Zoning Commission does hereby approve with conditions and modifications as set forth herein, the 254 Cherry Brook Road, major home-based business, request to establish a home-based antique business with a detached garage. This approval with conditions and modifications is made in part on the basis of, from the application of February 17th. Let me just go on. It has that they showed a map, a proposed garage driveway location. All right. The following is intended to assist the applicant by providing examples of accompanying materials. I know that this was approved. That's the second page.
That's not my second page.
That's the second page of this.
Yes. Okay. Application. Sorry, okay. You're right. That's why I didn't have those.
Yeah, so that's just a standard
application. I need my
application.
Second page of this back. Sorry.
Or you can read off.
Okay.
Or you can read.
All right, we can read together here.
So this is the second.
So
page.
Yeah. So attached was
these.
The town application, the letter of intention for special permit, the abutter map, abutter list, a quick claim deed, Google Earth aerial image. I don't know if I have to go through quite all of this, but these were the materials that were presented to zoning. The copy of the detached garage permit, information from building file records, the email from Renee Del Tantra to the applicant regarding public hearing notification, the screenshot of the legal notice, draft minutes, and another email, a signed affidavit. So in other words, they went through all the legal channels to present it to planning and zoning. And the approval is granted, it says, because the commission finds that the application as conditioned and modified, which is what I want to get to, and inclusive of the stipulations of this approval would comply with the following. A major home-based business and special permit criteria. It's effective, it was effective 20 days after, so it was July 6, 2021, which is almost a year ago, or more than a year ago, upon the recording of an approval letter and certificate of action with the town clerk. Okay, so the commission hereby grants this approval subject to the following conditions, modifications, restrictions, and safeguards. Customers by appointment only, one appointment per 30-minute period. Hours of operation would be 8 a.m. through 9 p.m. Signage, as is allowed per home-based business, modified to add by appointment only under the sign, which it does contain. No outdoor display without appropriate approval. Approval is binding upon the applicant, developer, et cetera. And it is constitutes a contractual agreement between the town of Canton and the applicant, heirs, assigns, and grantees. Okay, and it's relied on the information that was given. So I do have to just mention that I did send a letter to the Spiritos, and they responded rather right away. And she explained these exact conditions, that it was customers by appointment only, that, you know, they had had a daycare there previous, you know, like many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. So they already had been approved for limited parking, which is part of what we have to take into consideration. So these are the conditions that they have agreed to under planning and zoning. Right.
Well, as far as having a business there, do we even have any say? I don't think
no.
we have any say over
no.
that anyway.
No.
It's
no.
the sign that.
Correct, but they meet all the conditions for the zoning requirements.
I thought it was kind of vague. Did they change something in the garage, or was it exactly the way it is?
From the exterior, they did not change it.
Okay.
Right, so the only thing.
And we have no control of the interior. Yeah.
Right,
right.
Yeah.
So the only thing for us is the sign. And
correct.
Why did planning and zoning approve the sign without telling them that they needed to come to us regarding the sign?
I don't know. I think that perhaps that is contingent on having a business that you are, you know, as if it's approved as a business, that's the only thing that I
can think make. They, I don't, I would not think that would matter. I would think they still have to, that, because if you say that, oh, any business can put up any sign they want, they could put up flashing neon signs.
Well, no, I mean, like, we know that the sign had to be approved by us. That's what
but it wasn't.
My letter, I know, but that was what my letter was sent
oh, okay,
to
okay.
For.
Right, yes, right, so.
This is, we're notifying you to please apply to satisfy the requirement.
Right. But I'm just wondering why planning and zoning, they should have known.
It says signage as is allowed per home-based business, so it, you know.
Yeah, so they're allowed to have a sign, but
right.
the sign would have, and planning and zoning should have known that. And Neil Paid, I believe,
yeah.
goes to the planning and zoning meeting, so.
Yeah. Yes.
I think we ought to maybe talk with Paid or whatever,
mm-hmm.
because I believe that the plan, that the sign ordinances are part of zoning,
mm-hmm.
and they administer it. It's the size of it, the location of it, the height of it, all that is part of zoning, and the sign permits. And we're more or less, we do have some, we do have some say over it. We should have. It's part of our.
Yeah, no, it's.
But
in,
we have to.
Our statutes.
I think we have to kind of talk with him, because I don't think we want to make our concerns inconsistent with their ordinance. Right? We should try to make our review consistent with their ordinance.
Absolutely.
And because finally, in the end, a sign is something that is not attached to the building. It has no impact on the historic character of the building per se.
Mm-hmm.
And it's questionable whether or not signs as we have today are really consistent with the way they used to do signs at any time.
Mm.
So it's not really like we're trying to make the signage conform to a kind of sign that was used in the day.
I don't think that that's what the statute designates, though.
It says.
It does have here. So this is one. Historic district may request such plans, elevations, specific and other information, including the case of demolition. It's further
the
down.
Style.
The style. Here, it's on page
51.
And it is section 7147 D.
Paragraph C.
Paragraph C.
Second paragraph.
Right here.
Okay.
Yeah, the style, material, size, and location of outdoor advertising signs and bill posters within an historic district shall also be under the control of such commission. Then the provisions of this section shall not be construed to extend to the color of paint used on the exterior of any building or structure. So. But the style, material, size do need to be appropriate. And it did say over here.
But that's not talking about, that's not really making a distinction between signs that are attached to the building.
No.
And signs that are detached from
Correct.
The building.
But that's a permanent sign.
It's a permanent sign,
but it's detached from the building.
Doesn't matter.
It does matter. It would matter. I mean, we could say it doesn't matter, but it has less of an impact on the building than a sign that would be attached. An attached sign, how it is attached, where it's attached, how big it is, and what style it is, if it's attached to the building, has much more impact on the building than something that is totally detached and not necessarily of a period.
Mm-hmm.
The signs.
Yeah, I don't think that we're here to try to mimic a historic, the way that it was in 18 whatever. I think it's just to know that it's
appropriate.
Also just to control that anything can be incongruous with the historic or architectural aspects of the district. So we want to just make sure that it works. I mean that it
fits in.
That it fits with
right.
the character of the which I mean
yeah,
I think
it says,
we should open this meeting, like, we're still kind of in public hearing. I'm gonna, since there's no public, I'm gonna just open our regular meeting. So, yeah, I think that.
Time for that, or she has, you're paying attention to that, I guess, I'm sorry.
You know, because I think that the discussion that we're having, I think we're at the point where, you know, we're ready to, yeah, and we're looking at the actual application. I did retain the picture of this, and you know, I think that this is very apropos in the style and the material that they've chosen and the size.
Yes, I do. I'm more concerned about the fact that zoning approved it without, and rather before telling them that they had to come to us, because it's another example of things not, other things going awry in town, and people who should have known better, who have enough experience. And I think Neil Pate goes to the zoning, planning and zoning meetings. I'm not positive that he does, but I think,
I think he does.
Yeah. So he should, after all these years, be on top of these things. And also, it even does talk about on this page about parking. It says, no area within a historic district shall be used for industrial, commercial, business, home industry, or occupational parking, whether or not such area is zoned for such use, until after an application for certificate of appropriateness as to parking has been submitted to the commission and approved by said commission. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing should have been come to us before zoning.
Correct.
Approved it. So that was another, it's another big, it's not devastating, fortunately, because,
right.
But it's probably something, you know, that we would have approved, fortunately, mm-hmm. but it could have been devastating. So they have got to get up to speed in that land use office.
Well, duly noted, and you know, we really do have to just make sure that, I mean, that's what the purpose of my letter was that, you know, it's...
Which letter was that?
I sent the Spiritosa letter, just
letting them know
that they had to come before our commission
But
to get approval for their sign.
Right. But now somebody needs to communicate with the Neil Pate and I think the chairman of the planning and zoning.
Right.
Do you want to take that on?
I'm going to be in contact.
I'm planning to get away for a few days. I've already spent enough time at the. Well, you did too before you went away at the town hall. But
wonderful.
Yeah. I mean,
it was wonderful to get away. I can tell you.
Right,
that.
Right. No, but I meant you spent time at the town hall before you went away, and then spent some time there.
All right, well.
While you were gone. And I don't know if Sue told you yet how long it took us, as the two of us spent writing up the minutes for that meeting.
Oh, I can't even imagine. You guys, I
quarter 10 until 4:30.
On that Saturday afterwards, doing it together.
Gosh. Well, I wanted to personally thank you for doing that.
Well,
we wanted to get
it right.
It was very good, yes.
So,
we have that on the agenda to approve those awesome minutes that we have. All right.
So are you ready for a motion?
I am ready for a motion.
I make a motion that we approve the the sign for the antique business at 254 Cherry Brook Road, as submitted.
I'll second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. There's no opposed and there's no abstentions.
That was easy.
Also, this application was received in June.
Yeah.
And we're reviewing it in July.
This has been an ongoing
problem. It's a real problem.
I mentioned it in the beginning of our last meeting.
Because you knew about it, but you didn't receive the materials until time for this meeting? You thought we were gonna be doing, discussing this.
Right, that's what I thought we were gonna be just at our, yes, at our June 15th meeting.
But you didn't actually receive the fact that it was for.
I wanted to see the date, yeah, my letter was 26th May. And they replied June 7th.
And how many days ago was that?
Well, it was just shortly after my letter, so.
I'm just trying to think, June 7th to July 20th is how many days?
That's almost like 60, it's almost like 60 days.
That's what I'm trying to say, yeah, so that isn't, is problematic again. So I think maybe, did you want, Ken had been thinking that we maybe as a commission.
I thought that Tim Legette was gonna be here to talk about.
That's next.
He's gonna be there in September, when hopefully we have two alternates coming.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But no, I was speaking of the fact that you had spoken to me about the idea of us as a commission writing a letter to the land use office of the town in general about the fact that we must be notified immediately.
It was in the minutes.
Oh, it's in the minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Well, do we don't know who reads, we don't know if they're read by the people that need to read them or not for certain, but.
No, the fact that a letter should go was in the minutes.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying, yeah. Okay, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's complicated, you know? The thing is that there's a commission, a zoning commission, and all these commissions have to meet, and they have to more or less schedule all these things, you know, so that they know what's a, how, what the approval process is.
Right.
And all that kinda has to be done when, and then they have to write when the public hearing is gonna be. Give us enough time.
Right.
And on this one, this application here, it says it's the date received, but it doesn't say when the public hearing is. Oh, wait a minute, here. Doesn't say public hearing on July 20th. So.
Where does that
say? Today.
That's today, it's right here. But that's not.
But who wrote that in?
Oh, that was.
Right.
On this thing.
Yeah, but who wrote that July 20th at the public hearing?
Same person that wrote this.
Who filled out the whole thing?
No.
No.
The date
received.
Somebody
in the office, yeah.
So, one of the things that is just blatantly unfair to our commission is that in our statutes, in our state statutes, the applicant has 65 days from the date of receipt at the land use office.
Every
other commission, and Neil Pegg did explain this to me, has 65 days from the date the commission receives the application.
Yeah, that's normal.
So, as I explained, I'm going to be working with Tim to try to get the state legislature to change that, to make it across the board, because it should not be when, you know, I mean.
Different for historic district commissions.
Difference for historic district commissions, that's just not.
What is Collinsville Historic District? Do they have that same issue?
It's a state law.
It's a state law for historic commissions.
Generally, but only for historic district commissions.
I don't know where it says that. Where does it say that here? Action by, if any provision, I'm looking at 147B. I don't know.
I know that I saw it.
Well, the chair of the Collinsville Historic District could be on the bandwagon as well.
Absolutely.
Sure. Well,
I think it just doesn't make sense.
If they're having similar problems with the land use office.
It's quite possible.
Well, we should go slowly with this and make sure that we know, because it's, we don't want to do something that's really different than.
No, of course not, but
it's really different than what?
But well, than what they do, or we want to have something that works.
Absolutely.
Well, but, it would work a lot better.
Can,
we have 65 days
if we had
from
received
when we
this,
receive it.
You know, in time to like do something. You know,
see,
like we wouldn't have had to have a special meeting.
Never a problem before, because back when I was first on the commission, there was no go-between at the town hall. The applications were submitted directly to the commission, to the chair and the or the clerk. And I was the clerk, you know, for a while, and because I had to know about them, because I had to put in the I was the one who, as the clerk, put the legal notice, sent the legal notice to the Hartford Courant, and there was nobody at the town hall doing that work. And so they it was never an issue. There was no go-between stuff going on. And then all of a sudden, and the other thing that happened was is that when there all of a sudden was, like when Renee came on board, it was like they never told us that this person had been hired. These things keep happening, like when Maureen got hired. No one ever told us that Maureen got hired. And when they
need to have a little communication.
So we were confused when Renee told us that Maureen couldn't be here. We thought she was talking about me because it was a coincidence that I couldn't be there at that meeting. We thought she got my name mixed up because we didn't even know about you. Yeah. It's like some the communication is just awful. So anyway.
All right, well, with no question, we need to resolve these issues, and the date thing is really.
And also, you know, I'm just saying, I don't mean to be argumentative, but I just mean, I'm just trying to, you know, we can't wait for this Connecticut legislature.
No, totally agree.
Right. I just wanted you to know that we're putting that.
No, we've got to get our issues.
I totally agree.
There's absolutely
no reason that I shouldn't have had this application in my hands.
Right. Because who knows what other applications are sitting down
exactly.
there right
that
now
was
that we don't even know about.
The other one was a surprise.
Right.
Exactly.
And you know what? I'm realizing that maybe Tim was having some of these problems when he was chair, because he did say to me that he sometimes had to get on Renee to give him the applications. But then when I was chair, I never had that problem with her. We didn't have a lot of applications when I was chair, so that was probably why we didn't have that problem. Because there weren't.
I get them.
Yeah, and then you got it. Oh my God, trial by fire. I mean, the ones we had when I was chair, I barely even remember them now. They were not.
Also, I wanted to point out that the minutes to the meeting were on, I think, the fire department's website.
Well, we got the Conservation Commission meetings. They were interesting to read.
Like, how are people supposed to get to
information?
Read these?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, I think that might be in part because Lisa is new and she's getting herself oriented.
I think we need to just kind of know that these are things that we have to do outside of the meeting. But, you know, I don't.
We do have to do them because, and also the idea that, I don't know what happened with this Dropbox, but the applications came, the whole package was like held up for hours or days. Hmm. And we only got it at like 2:30 or 4 o'clock, you know.
Oh, on the day of the special meeting.
On the day of
the
special
meeting.
Meeting,
no, I know.
Is,
that was
you
terrifying.
You know, you can't do your job like that.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, what are we going to do about it?
Well, I think I am meeting with Neil, actually tomorrow, I believe. I just got back. So, you know, we've been trying to get caught up on stuff. So I will mention these things and just like now I'm home, so like I'll start being a little bit more on top of these things. I mean, if an application comes in, it should be immediately, and I think I reiterated this the last time, it's not only should come to me, it should come to all of us. upon receipt by the land use office.
Yeah, and it should have this filled out.
Right, the.
And it should give us enough time.
Time to review it and, yeah.
Right, exactly. Perhaps, Gina.
Yeah.
I mean, this all went on the website. I haven't really looked recently to make sure it's still there. But does, maybe you wanna give Neil a copy of this old booklet or at least in that because, and ask him to, and maybe highlight some of these things that.
Right.
I mean, there'll be other things that will come up, but just some of the recent ones, because it does seem that he's missing some of that and that knowledge. But I also think that, the chair of the planning and zoning should be written to.
Well, I think after we get it straightened out, we need to communicate with more than just Neil Payne about how this has to be handled. You know, because this is not good.
Yeah, I think that
Well, I did go and have a talk with Bob Bessel about some of the things that had happened and how things had gone. He seemed to be aware of some of it regarding all the last minute stuff that happened with the last application. But we've not this one, discussion about this one. So there is some awareness by him anyway, but perhaps he needs to be also CC'd on some, like if you send an email, Gina, to the chair of planning and zoning and follow up your meeting with Neil with an email CC Bob Bessel as well, because I do think that
I think we definitely need to streamline the communication that's coming.
Right, and also, the selectmen are the supervisors of all of
the town business.
All the town business, and he really needs to be aware of all of these issues that have occurred, and now this planning and zoning mistake and this additional land use office mistake. I think we need to know.
Okay.
So you can find the name of the chair on the town website for that. I can't remember off the top of my head, but
I'm gonna be working on this tomorrow. So
okay.
As we follow our agenda. As far as old business, none. This I think comes under old business, what we've just been discussing. So I think we're going to move on.
Well, I don't know if there's none under old business. Because I had as I had shared with you on the phone, I have been trying to reach this Todd Levine at the State Historic Preservation Office.
Yeah.
And I called him three times last week. I finally emailed him. That was the name that Jim Grant gave to me and to Ken. When I emailed him, he finally emailed me back and said, let's chat. And what's a good time? So I gave him some times on Friday and Monday. Didn't call back, so I finally called him back and told him we had this meeting tonight. Called his cell phone too, and he still hasn't called me back, which is kind of frustrating. But I did talk to this circuit rider whose name is Brad Scheid, who works not necessarily for SHPO, but with SHPO or in conjunction with. It's a little bit hazy to me.
I think he works, I'm not really sure, but I think there's Connecticut Historic Preservation Office, or something like that, in New Haven, and he works for that organization. So it's not a governmental organization, but it's a more or less like a consultant organization that deals with developers or property owners or something like that, that want, you know, are looking for approval in a historic district. So, on several occasions, he came into Hartford with applications, and he was good. He was very good.
Okay. Well, he knew of Todd Levine also, he said it was important first that SHPO, being the State Historic Preservation Office, to get them involved, to be able to show them the townspeople are interested in seeing something such as the barns being preserved, and he recommended getting a petition going on change.org. He said you'd probably need about 500 signatures. Of course, he did not realize what a small town Canton is, but to get them to want to try to work with the applicant owner, Don, perhaps, you know, applying for grants with them or thinking of other uses. And I was hoping to have more information for you folks tonight by having talked directly with SHPO, but I think maybe I'm going forward, I may try. There are other names listed that maybe I will try. And there's a Julie, someone who Bob Bessel even mentioned. He seemed to know some of the people, so maybe I'll try somebody else if he's too busy to deal with us. But in any case, this Brad Scheid gave me some little suggestions of, you know, just a few sentences of what to write up if we wanted to get a petition going. But I don't know how you folks feel about that at this point, if we want to hold off until we could get some more guidance or information from SHPO, and also maybe just to give the owner applicant some time to reflect.
I do need to, it's not old business, it's new business. I have been in receipt of a letter from Mr. Perry stating that he is going to file for an appeal.
With who?
With the... state. Let's
see. Appeals court. First,
yeah. The appeals court.
That's going to court.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Lots of luck.
So, I just need to make the commission aware that
I think that we need to, you know, as far as getting involved with like a petition or something like that, I think we have to be like more neutral. And if there's somebody that wants to go ahead and look for a grant or something like that, it should be an organization that is not associated with us.
Okay.
Like some of the people that
care
yeah,
or something.
Right.
Or
yeah.
That's about, yeah.
Okay.
And they would have to more or less try to find some kind of way of negotiating with Mr. Perry.
Right. I think at this point we're at the point of seeking legal counsel from the town attorney.
I didn't
because
realize
that. This is not certainly not my expertise and not my area of
the town. Needs to,
right, the
town
is going
to
is now
to,
going
yeah.
to have to be involved.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I didn't realize, or I wouldn't have been saying all that.
I mentioned this.
So, I mean, I knew that was a possibility.
I was hoping that it would not be. I was hoping that, and I'm still hopeful that there's a chance that maybe we can, you know, have a meeting and have him desist from making an appeal.
I thought he had to actually file it within the 15 days. What is that the letter said that he did file it?
No, 15 days is on Friday.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
It's always like last minute.
So
every single
do you
thing
have
that
the
is
letter?
Happened with his application.
Do you have the letter with you?
I don't want to read it.
No, I just look at it. I don't have to read it that loud, but can I just look at it?
It's addressed to myself and Neil Page.
Do you not want to share it then?
I would like to not share it until I seek some counsel. I just don't want to put this on the public record.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
okay.
I see. Yeah, sure.
So, all right. So, that's a bummer.
but not unexpected.
Right, I know. So, all right, I'm going to just continue on with our other business. Just super quickly, I do have a call into the high school to their photography department to see if any of their students would be interested in doing that documentation of the district, which
nice.
I think that would be a really good community effort and educational part. So, you know, one positive thing going on. and
thank
other,
you.
It's just, we gotta find something. Let's go here. All right, so let's do our review of the minutes of June 15th. Are there any modifications or?
I wasn't here, so I can't really speak to them.
Oh.
You weren't here?
For the
right,
June 15th
right.
when I wasn't.
Yeah.
Have those?
Yeah.
I thought we approved everything.
Not, no, because at our special meeting, all we did was review the application. Oops.
Oh, please, yeah. I have.
This is this page. Something that needed to be modified?
Yeah. I believe that's the one where you submitted your paper, remember?
Yeah.
And your concerns
yeah, ended up being our reasons for
the 1-5, yeah.
Right.
I don't remember you saying anything, Ken.
Motion that we approve the minutes is submitted.
I second.
All those in favor? Aye. One abstention. Okay. All right. And then we'll go on to the draft minutes of the special meeting of July 6th. And again, I want to commend Sue and Marianne et al. As they had a hand in it, preparing these, I thought that they were very well done.
Thank you. We had fun. You, Sue. If you could call it that.
Yeah. Call it fun.
Between me and Stanley.
Yeah, Sue was dog sitting. Aww. A little fella.
Motion we approve the minutes through July 6th.
I'll second it. All those in favor?
Sorry.
Aye.
Aye.
Sorry. yeah, I got to get that. Okay. Ken, did I just give you my copy of the The ones that have the hole punch in them?
Yeah.
Okay. Check that out.
Do you want mine?
It's just that these are already hole punched. Why don't you give those to him?
I got them.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. All right. Is there any other business to come before the commission? So I will be letting them know that we can issue a certificate of appropriateness for the Spiritos. And that should be happening right away. Okay.
Sounds good.
All righty. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
As always, I make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
Sue's always really good for that motion. Love that.
I always do that.
It's always unanimous.